You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
This is Women in Leadership Podcast, featuring success insights from women around the globe. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast. This is episode 84, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Joining me on today's show is Tanya Connor Green. Tanya has been coaching female entrepreneurs who are struggling to make money in their business, and she's been doing that since 2015. Now, as a former corporate prisoner who was often referred to as the little pit bull in the insurance field where she worked, Tanya is keenly aware of how important it is for her clients to succeed in their business and not go back to a soul-sucking 9-to-5 job, because she's been there herself. Now, she has a unique approach to her business coaching because of her strong focus on human connection and vulnerability. So Tanya focuses on helping women move beyond fears and self-doubts that keeps them hidden behind their computer screen, so that they do get visible, they get vulnerable, and they stand out online and out from the crowd online to make six figures plus in their online businesses. Now, today on the show, Tanya is going to share asking for help is a sign of strength, not weakness. Yay, this is so important to talk about. Sharing your vulnerable story will make you stand out from the crowd and make your audience feel connected to you, which will lead to more sales and more clients. Stop hiding your gifts. You're not doing yourself or anyone, especially your ideal clients, any favors by keeping them hidden, and so much more. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited that this is video too. This is so fun.
That's right. We're doing it all, video, audio, and live on Facebook. It's such an important message. I think before we press record, so many women sadly really feel that asking for help, whether it be from your team or other people in your circle, is a sign of weakness. Whereas I love the way that you said, actually, it's a sign of strength. Let's dive in. This is an important mindset shift that I hope really to impart on women listening and watching today. What are some things that you want to share?
Okay, awesome. So I usually think about it as a strength, one, because it takes a lot of courage and strength to ask for help, but also it honors the person that you ask. So it's actually sort of like giving them a gift by being the gift of being helpful.
Yes.
So most people, how do you feel when you help someone, mm-hmm. especially someone in need? Like it's like a high that you get that you helped somebody and you were able to make a difference for somebody else. So if I just give this person a gift, or if I honor them by saying, I trust you, mm-hmm. I'm coming to you because I see you and that I see that you are able to help me. Mm-hmm. Can you help me with this thing? Right.
Yes.
Like I'm feeling like I need some support. Mm-hmm. So I think of it like you're actually doing, like giving someone an honor you're giving somebody else the opportunity to be helpful.
Yes. And possibly use their gifts and their unique talents to be able to contribute to the team. Speak a little bit, because this is so important to you. Speak a little bit about some of the reasons why we as women, we don't do that. One of them I know is that, you know, as leaders, we have the assumption that we need to know everything, be all things to all people, but that couldn't be the farther from the truth. So let's speak some truth into this unfortunate thinking that we have to know all things as a leader.
So, so true. And I know that I'm usually guilty of that. Mm. And also like having that control, like that I could do it better than someone else, or I can do it better on my own. Mm-hmm. But like knowing how to do everything, we feel like we have to be able to do it all on our own. And if somebody helped us do it, it wasn't technically all by ourselves.
Yes.
And I even when I was working in insurance, I thought that more minds is always better than one, mm-hmm. because if more people are like, they're going to cover more bases. Like people are going to have different perspectives, different ideas, different examples, and you're thinking about different things. So if you put two minds together, you're only going to make it better. It's like combining two is like bigger and better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always think that it's like important to have the team because it covers more bases, mm-hmm. and we don't have to be good at everything. We don't have to take control of everything. We don't have to be the only one who knows how to do it or who is doing it.
Yes, yes.
So, and personally, for my experience, like, I think, like, growing up in a family, like, I grew up in a divorced family, so my mom was always like, miss, like, be independent, don't depend on other people. Like, you can do it on your own. You don't need to, like, have anyone's help. I don't think that that was necessary. I don't think she meant it that way, but, like, that as a child is how I took it.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking that, like, it's better if you can do it on your own, it's better to be super independent than to need anybody else.
Yes. And this is going to speak beautifully into one of the points, you know, about not hiding our gifts. And sometimes we don't recognize our gifts or validate them to really how we can contribute, because once we have that self-awareness and that confidence that what we have to offer and share is just so brilliant, and other people as well, we then realize and are far more comfortable in aligning ourselves with incredible people who are skilled exceptionally in their area, and we're confident to say, you know what, I can take a step back and let you shine in what you do, because collaboratively, united together, we can achieve so much more than we could possibly hope to achieve on our own. Speak a little bit about this, because I think sometimes that's the reason why, by getting other people to shine, it detracts the shining away from what we bring to the table. But it's far from the case, isn't it?
I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's the whole, like, collaboration over competition or community over competition, because it's not that, like, just if I shine, that doesn't take away shine from somebody else.
Yeah.
And, like, there's enough shine for everybody, you know? And when we do put someone else's gifts or someone else's expertise on display, that only strengthens us as a company or us as a team, because now we have two amazing people and we can be amazing in different ways. And also, even if we're amazing in the same way, we still bring our own sort of gifts to it, and our own our own kind of perspective on it, and who we connect with is different.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all right. I want to say, when we press record, we go with the flow, and if children come, cats, dogs, postmen, postwomen, it's all good. It's all fine. And she's probably going, yeah, that's right. So as Tracy said, oh, hello, hello. That's the beauty of doing things right.
She likes to be a part of all the podcasts. My podcast co-host, he's always like, be quiet.
As long as she doesn't push any volume buttons or sound effects and things like that at the wrong moments, that'll be great. Let's talk about some of the, you know, we're talking about the reasons why we may not want to invite people onto our team because of the fact that it may diminish our own light, which we've just said that is just not true at all. Let's talk about, because I know that this is something sometimes a reason as well, is that we take our skills and our gifts for granted. We don't really see them as being of any value. Speak a little bit about this. Are there some techniques that you've done or that you've seen that work really well in highlighting and actually pinpointing where our gifts and strengths lay? Because this is something that I think many people struggle with as well.
Mm-hmm. Great, great question. So number one, being a woman in corporate, I think that a lot of the time we're told to be quiet, not share our like emotions or our opinions, or, you know, not talk too much, or, you know, you have to like, they're like, if you're not super senior, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. Listen to the more senior people or the more seasoned people. And I think that, so that at least for me was like something that kind of like got beaten into me of like, be quiet.
Yes.
Stay quiet. Don't be loud. Don't be in people's face. Don't share your opinions because you're young. And I think that like, you know, it silenced me a bit. And one of the things that when I learned about sharing your gifts was because I was afraid to speak in public because of that sort of stuff, right? So I never wanted to speak out in a group. And so I would never have done something like this. I was great one-on-one, but I would never speak in a group, or if people were watching or people were looking at me, I would never speak. When I would speak with people one-on-one, they would tell me that I wasn't sharing my gifts because like I had all of this knowledge or information or things that could help people inside of me. But because I wasn't speaking it, unless the person spoke to me individually, then there were so many other people that wouldn't benefit from that. So one of the things I do now, because a lot of women they struggle with determining what are their strengths, is I will first ask, like, what do your friends say about you? What do people say you're great at? What do they notice about you? And when you start to like become aware of when people give you compliments and not say, oh, no, no, no. Because, you know, we all do that. Oh, no, you're so beautiful.
Anyone can do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like detract from what they just said. So one of the things I work on with my clients is like to say, thank you, I received that. Don't reply. Don't say they're beautiful or they're super smart or anything like that. Thank you, I received that. And then actually notice what are the things that people are saying to you. And then you can kind of identify some of that stuff in yourself, because I don't think we should just wait for other people to tell us how great we are. But when you can start to identify some of those things that, you know what, maybe I am a really great friend. Maybe I am a really good, great pet owner. Maybe I am a really great partner. Maybe I am a really great manager. Noticing those things where you're like, you know what, I was really good at that. And giving yourself some of that kind of feedback that you're usually looking to get from other people. And when you start to get in the habit of noticing the things that you're great at, you'll create a big list of things that make you incredible.
Love all of those things. I think it's so important. But that one that, you know, when we are given a compliment or someone mentions, you know, you're so good at this and that, when we say to the, oh, you know, anyone can do that or it's nothing, we actually devalue, don't we? Even subconsciously, that, hey, what we have to offer and what someone's just complimented, it's not worth of any value. And I love the way that you've said some of the beliefs, some of the things that you were taught or shared from corporate, because I know many of our listeners have come from corporate and now running their own business. What they don't realize often is that we bring some of those misconceptions, you know, not helpful beliefs, unhelpful beliefs to how we are showing up, and the way we relate to people. So if we think that we're not sharing our voice, we're not putting our hands up to be interviewed or even start our own podcast, which can keep our story, keep our voice, our message from being heard. So, so very important. Let's talk about being vulnerable, our story. I think often the seasons that we've been through, the struggles, the hardships, the challenges, because we've gone through them, they've built in us a strength that we can now impart to others. And being able to talk about it in a way that does empower, inspire, and give people hope that, hey, if she can do it, maybe I can do that too. But again, we can struggle with that too. So share a little bit more, maybe some of the things that you did and learned to help you now bring your story to life, to impact other people.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing that I learned. And I learned it early on in my journey, because the way I came to coaching was because I was reading this book by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfection. And it was all about how our vulnerabilities are actually the things that connect us. The fact that we're imperfect is what connects all of us. If I'm imperfect, you're imperfect. And if we're both imperfect, then we can relate to each other because we're both imperfect. So when you share your vulnerable stories with people, which is what I do regularly in my business, and I suggest that my my clients do as well, when we share those things, people can say, me too. Like, I feel that. I get her. She gets me. Or she was where I am now, which means that if she was here, then I can get there too. So if I say, like, I felt like a corporate prisoner in my job, where I felt like my gray cubicle was like a prison cell and people let me out on evenings and weekends. There are a lot of people that have been in a gray cubicle thinking, man, I only get to go out when my boss says I can leave on evenings and weekends. So there are people that will relate to our story and the things that we struggled with. And by sharing where we were and where we are now, that's going to give them, like you said, hope that they can do it too. And if I can do it, because I'm not special, anyone else can do it too. Like, I feel like if, like, there's nothing different necessarily other than like who I am, but like we all can have the potential to do that if we believe that we can.
So important. I remember a couple of years ago, I went through a business partnership, which unfortunately came to an end. Circumstances I won't go into today, but it really significantly, you know, was a, like a punch in the gut. And I remember one of my colleagues saying to me several months down the track, oh, I'd love you to share that, because the way you've picked yourself up and blah, 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 this is such a great story and a message. I was going to then share that to her audience, but my then coach said to me, You're not ready to share that yet because you're still journeying through that. You're still learning. You've come a long way, but wait until you've come full circle to be able to share that. And that was such a great piece of advice. I'd love to ask your thoughts on that, but then also for people that are listening, how do they know that they've gotten to a stage where, you know what, this story is now that one I can share and I can impart some real honest, integral learnings from that. It's not something that I'm still struggling with. Those two things, can you share some insights onto what do you think around those?
So typically, I personally feel like I'm always learning and I'm always journeying through like different things. Mm. So what I usually say to my clients is you can always help somebody who is a couple of steps behind you, mm-hmm. whether it's one step or three steps. But if you're where they are hoping and wishing to be, like you can help them get from where they are to where you are.
Yes.
So sometimes like we can help people even because I know a lot of people are like, well, I'm not an expert or I'm not there yet or I don't know enough yet. And it's like, you don't need to wait because as you grow, you're going to be able to give more information about what you're going through to people who are a little bit further behind you. Mm. And as you grow, they'll grow. And as you learn more, they'll learn more. Mm-hmm. And so you guys can grow together. And I think that I like personally, I just don't want to wait to help people that maybe need the help right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, very, very important point. What about situations where there are parts of stories that have real learnings and then there are parts of stories that you think, oh, TMI, too much information. How do we know the difference between that is going to be really good, that not so much, that's something that I should just keep to myself. How do we discern?
So I usually ask, like, is that in service of my client or is that in service of someone else?
Yeah.
Like, am I giving them details that, like, they don't need to know? Mm. Or am I doing it so that they know, like, what are – because sometimes we think that no one else is going to deal with these, like, outside side effects of what happens. And a lot of the time they do need to know some of those things because – so they feel less alone. If we don't talk about it, people think that they're weird and something weird is happening to them that – no one else has ever experienced in their life. And if we don't share that stuff, like I know for a long time, like a lot of women didn't share that they had had a miscarriage, right? And like the more people share, the more people that are like, oh yeah, I did too, and I just never told anybody.
Yeah, but I love that. And I love the way that you've said it is this of service because, you know, sometimes, and here's why I ask that, sometimes, you know, people will write a book about it or they contribute to a chapter, whereas some of the things that might think, is that better off to be in a journal, something that I'm working through? And is this of service? Can this be in a lesson? Can this be something that inspires hope and possibility into someone else? And this is maybe something that you've done too. You may have, as an idea, some close friends, people who you really do trust, and perhaps share with them some ideas, some of the things that you were thinking and putting in, and then they will give you some honest feedback as to, this is great, this is something that's just for your eyes or, you know, your learnings only. Were there some other things that you did, some practical steps to really help as you started to flesh out your story that you're now using so beautifully in your message?
Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, number one, I went to therapy for like every week for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of like, now I share a lot of things I learned in therapy that didn't come from me, or they were just like lessons I learned through experiencing things. Mm-hmm. But, firstly, I love therapy, so I definitely highly recommend it to everybody. If there is any stigma around that, like, I love it, and I think it's kind of like a good boost of good energy. Every time I left there, I was like, oh, this is like drugs. It's so good.
Let's talk about that. If there is a stigma around that, I think that's something that needs to be eliminated, because here's someone who is skilled and an expert, someone who is able to support you. There are some things that we get stuck in our stuckness that we just don't see. So by them mirroring something back, perhaps reframing it slightly, or even just sometimes a look, you know, that look that you get and it's like, has you completely reframed something, even subconsciously, that you think, wow, I never looked at it that way. I mean, so
I had no idea all of these stories that I had made up in my mind to be truth. I truly believed that that was what had happened. Yeah. And really that was my perspective at the time.
Yes.
Like if I wanted to take a different perspective on some of the things that have happened in your life. Like mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that I've learned along the way is like, especially with owning a business and going through like some of the like breakup and like mm-hmm. all the different things that I had gone through that I went to therapy for. I used to think to myself, instead of thinking like, oh, woe is me, it's like that this or something better. Mm-hmm. Like if this doesn't work out, it's because something better will. Like the universe has a better plan for me than I had for myself. Mm-hmm. So like trusting where you are being guided to go, if something doesn't work out or something ends that you really did not want to end, mm-hmm. whether it's a relationship or a job or something like that, it's because something better is on the horizon. There's mm-hmm. something better around the corner that you just haven't planned for.
Yeah.
So having that reframe of like, why is this happening to me? My life is blowing up to, oh, this is being like everything is breaking up so that I can be redirected in a new direction that I didn't plan on going.
Mm. And those key lessons in life, I think, are so important because I don't know if you've had this, if there's something that you're still working through, there is a lesson to be learned from that. Life will often show you little triggers and things. And then when you are able to handle them, I know you, bye. No longer an issue because I've been able to work through that, and you're able then to impart that if this is something that you want to include in your message to help others, that they mm-hmm. can find that strength as well. Let's talk about the vulnerability in stories, because sometimes, and you may have heard this too, people that I don't really want to share that because people may look at me differently or think this about me. Whereas, you know what, again, hiding, and this speaks beautifully into hiding our gifts, hiding our message, we're not doing our ideal clients a service if we're keeping that hidden, are we?
No, not at all. So I have a really great question that I've asked myself and my clients for the whole journey so far mm-hmm. is like, are you willing to be judged by 10 people in order to help one person who is struggling?
Mm.
Because it's not really about everybody, and you might be judged. I mean, even if you did something great, you're probably going to be judged by that too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get judged either way. Yes. And do you care about the people that are judging you, or are you doing it to serve somebody who might be struggling and maybe they see or hear your message and that gives them hope, or that gives them a way out, or maybe working with you helps them create a life that they never even imagined they could have. Mm-hmm. And is that worth it if some people think you're silly or that you're salesy or that you're sharing a vulnerable story that they don't want to hear?
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's not for them. It's for the person who is struggling.
And that is something I think that what you just mentioned is so important, that sometimes what can happen is if someone is triggered and responds to us in a way that we think, oh, that I wasn't expecting that response. Number one, they may just not be our ideal client. But number two, it really doesn't have a reflection on us and our message, and that it's bad, that we shouldn't share it. It may actually be an indication to them that that is an area that they need to deal with. So by having that comment or reaction shut us down, again, we're not serving our ideal clients and who we really can serve and support by not sharing that message. Are there some other things that you see happen typically that have us kind of detract and not share our message? We've talked about, you know, being judged, having someone being triggered, and sometimes that can reflect on us. Maybe it is the way that I'm sharing my message. Are there some other things you see typically that happen around sharing our vulnerable story that you kind of want to let people be aware of so that they don't get stuck in that and then not share mm-hmm. their message? What are some other things?
Yeah, some other things, like some people might be hurt by your version of the story, so that you might not want someone to know that that's what happened. I mean, you might want to hide it. It might be somebody else might be involved. So usually if that's the case, I would generally just say, like, don't include their portion of the mm-hmm. story that you're telling,
mm-hmm.
Because this is about you and how your perspective of it was and what has shifted for you since then.
Mm.
Yeah, so people usually are concerned about judgment. They're concerned about not being ready to tell the story,
mm.
not knowing what the reaction will be, whether it will be judgment. And sometimes people are afraid of success too.
Yeah.
I've had clients who they share a little bit and they have so much success that it makes them retreat.
Mm.
So not also being afraid of, like, what if something good comes from that? Mm. Like, are you ready to say yes to that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that takes courage too, to step into the light or step into that new role and sort of leaving that old identity behind.
Mm.
Because when we tell the story and when we've moved past it, You don't want to tell it in a way that, like, that's who you are still. Mm-hmm. That's part of your story. And, like, you can shift or leave that identity in the story.
Yes.
You can move into a new identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very important. And I love the way that you said, if there are other people involved, is to really tell it from your perspective, so that because everybody's, you know, can see the same story. You can have two or three people involved in the same situation, and each through their own perceptions, values, beliefs, can share a completely different version of that. So you want to stay integral to sharing
and
yours.
And sometimes it's fun to hear that.
Yes.
Like sometimes I'll ask people, especially when I was going to therapy, we would reframe something and then I would be like, I wonder what the other person thought of it. And I would ask them, like, so why did you think this was happening? And like their story will be completely different than what I had said. So it's really cool to kind of see that everybody does have a really different perspective and version of what happened.
Yeah. I think that's important, isn't it, for all of us to remember that there will be different perspectives, there will be different ways that people react, and that it's okay. You really need to learn, I think, get to a place where we're able to appreciate that. Doesn't mean that we necessarily need to agree, because that's not our version of how we saw things, but to come to a place where that's okay, have a healthy level of curiosity, but that we don't have that impact us, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, be curious. Mm. Like, you're not in judgment. You're not, like, trying to reframe the other person's perspective. You're just being curious and listening to somebody, what someone else was paying attention to, or what connected with them, like what resonated for them from that experience.
Yes.
And it's actually just really interesting to hear how people interpret different situations, and like even like people's facial expressions and how someone said something. It's like really interesting to see how it means something different to everyone, and how you said before about how it's actually a reflection of what's happening inside of them. Mm. I don't know, have you ever read the book The Four Agreements?
Yes.
So I love that book. If there was only one book on the planet, I would give that book to everybody.
Yes.
I would save that book.
Yeah. But, just share with you, because people are going to be thinking, what are the four agreements? So you want to give a very short snapshot overview of what that is.
Okay. So number one is be like precise with your word. I know it's not precise as the word, but there's a different word that they use.
Yep.
But be precise with your word. So say what you mean and don't say things that you don't mean.
Yeah.
So if I think that that person is beautiful, don't say, oh, look at how pretty she is, if you actually think she's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Say what you mean. Don't actually, you know, beat around the bush, I guess, with it. So use words that describe how you feel and what you see. Number two, I think, is don't take things personally.
A big one. How often do we do that?
That one for me.
Yes.
Well, I love that now, because it's exactly what you were talking about, is how people take things is a direct implication of how they're feeling, because it's like a mirror of what they're feeling. So what you see in others is really a reflection of what's happening inside of you.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so don't take things personally. Be precise with your word. Always do your best is the last one.
Yes.
And
don't make assumptions.
Don't make assumptions. The biggest, don't make assumptions is one of the biggest ones for me. I say this to my clients all the time, because we do market research. If you want to do something, if you want to create a course, or you want to create anything, whatever you want to create, make sure that you're not assuming that people want it.
Yes.
Actually go and ask them.
Yeah.
Because when we make assumptions, we can create this entire story around something that may have been rooted in something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
And like, as we build on top of it, the things that we built on top might have been true, but if the underlying first step wasn't true, then we've just built an entire tower on something that wasn't even.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first one you were talking about, you know, the word, be impeccable with your word. And I think what I love about all of those, and they're so important, is that it ties back beautifully into everything that you shared today about your story. You know, is it going to be helpful to someone? Because sometimes not saying something is going to be the best way to communicate than to say something which is true and honest, but it's just not going to be helpful to that person, you know, sometimes.
And like, even like sometimes being speechless is like something nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So it could be either way. Like, maybe you're not saying something that's really hurtful to others and not in service and not going to do any good. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're also like not saying anything because you're in so much awe that you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You don't want to just put words on it that don't have the right meaning.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? Sometimes when people say to you, so what do you think about this? Sometimes, you know, that again, your own perspective is not going to necessarily be their perspective. So, you know, sometimes you can say, well, that's so interesting. What do you, you can just come up with some ways that, again, can really support others in getting the information that they need that will inspire and empower them to move forward. So love all of that. So how can people find out more about you, the services that you offer, how you can support them? What's the best way for them to connect with you, Tanya?
So the best way for them to connect is likely also we have a podcast, me and my podcast co-host, his name's Mike. We have a podcast called the How We Hustle podcast, mm-hmm. which is available in iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and iHeartRadio and YouTube. So you can find it anywhere online, basically.
Fantastic.
And the other places you can find me, my website is www.wholeheartedbusinesscoach.com or on Facebook on wholeheartedbusinesscoach.com or Instagram. I love Instagram, so say hello.
Yeah, fantastic.
So anywhere they want to do that. And I do, if you guys are looking to get more visible with video, which is mm-hmm. something I am a big believer of, because if you're telling your vulnerable story mm-hmm. on video, people can get to know you and see mm-hmm. you. And so I also have a free training that's called the Quit Hiding and Get Visible training, and it's also available on my website.
Fantastic. And we'll put all of those links and details for Tanya on the show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/WIL84. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been super fun. You have such great questions.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world, one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.